Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
You know, I think in this season, it's fair to say that sometimes I just need a move from God. Like, I just need God to let me feel His presence one more time. Just to balance some of it. I don't know why, man, this week has just been rough. Am I the only one, like, you just like, man, I need a spiritual shower just to rinse off. All right, I'm going to shift gears on you. I won't forget. So, online people, we welcome you. We had a little camera issue. Thank you for bearing with us and joining us this morning. Man, I love our Thrive Tribe. Thrive Tribe is not just people online. We're a tribe. Tribe is a group of people that are kind of like family. But we just made our tribe bigger than family. Because if you're here, we believe, whether you're here online, on Facebook, on YouTube, on our church platform, man, we believe that you're our family. And we believe that regardless of how you choose to take in today's service, that you're part of something bigger than what you are. You're part of a bigger family than what you realized. But with that being said, I couldn't help it. Will you do me a favor? Just lean back in. Can I have just the first lyric of the Mountain Song? Can we bring that up? That would be fantastic. On screen, please, Steve. That would be wonderful. Speak to Mountains. Yeah, I called it the Mountain Song because it says something about mountains. And sometimes, can I be honest with you? Sometimes it's hard to, Steve, if you go ahead and bring that up just first chance you get, that'd be awesome. Because sometimes I don't get the whole content. I just see the mountain. That's why I called it the Mountain Song. Because this week's felt more like one big mountain than a bunch of little hills. So will you do me, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Is this okay? Can you just go all solely and give me just the first line of this? Just the, why would I worry? I need it from your toes. Let me ask you a question. Is that a question you've asked yourself like 500 times? It's not that you don't have faith. It's not that you don't have faith. Just sometimes you can't remember where you put it. No, like that's not even a joke. Like I know it's kind of funny, but there are times when I have to remind myself that my battle to find my faith is part of the battle. Now, you'll get that in a minute. See, some of you fall in condemnation because you're digging for the faith without realizing that the digging for the faith is part of the journey of the faith. Yeah, one more time. Come on. This, I promise. Is it okay if we go a little long today? Okay, good, because I was going to do it.
Why would I worry?
Next line. Yes.
Giants come calling me.
But isn't that exactly what we do? Do you see where we're going here this morning? What I want you to do is have something that you can go back to on Monday. Like, the minute you're done watching the news, go back to zero and start over. Like, the minute you go to Facebook News, which now is a forced feed, I can dive into that if you need me to. So when you read that feed.
Why would I worry when giants are calling my name?
Keep going.
Oh, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face.
Stop. Because if you would have got that, you would have gone off the freaking rails. Are you tracking with where? How big is your God? Does that make sense? Like when you sit there and you read the news, do you read it in context of how does this compare to my God? So when you look at it, when you look at your checkbook, when you look at your circumstance, when you look at your health, when you look at the government, when you look, whatever you're looking at that appears to you to be bigger than God, that is real good. This is like Monday morning good. You may not be able to sing like Holly. You may not be able to sing like Liz. You may not be, but from somewhere down inside of you needs to come the best version, the best, like, soulful version that's like from down here somewhere. Do it again. Like it's a, like you're the only person in this room. I think sometimes we forget that our God is bigger. Wait to leave church today. No. Hold on. Not because church is bad. I can't wait for the next person that asks my opinion on a world event.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
So what do you think about the vaccine? I think my God is bigger. Better. That's whether I took it or not. What do you think about the economy? Oh, I think my God is bigger, better, greater, stronger. What do you think about the president? No matter who's in office, I think God's bigger, better, greater, stronger. What do you think of, man? Well, should we wring our hands about something? No, what we should do, our hands were never meant to be wrung. They were made to be lifted. Because I've had about enough of this mountain. Like I'm done looking at the mountain. And if I can't walk over it, and I'm gonna be honest with you, this mountain I don't think I can climb. Because I think that if God gives you the strength to climb the mountain, climb the mountain. And if it's too big for me to go around, because sometimes there are objects and obstacles in my life that are too big for me to go around. Sometimes I don't have the choice to go around them. So God, if I can't go over it, and I can't go around it, then I guess it's time you move it. Does that make sense? That needs to be your prayer this week. God, if it's something I can do, if I can go over it, if I can go around it, God, let me deal with it. Because I'm strong enough for that, right? I may get tired. I may have to rest going up the mountain a couple of times. But God, if I can't go over it, and I can't go around it, then I'm going to grab a chair and I'm going to watch you move it. And while I look at that mountain, I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to speak to it every time I see it. I'm going to, every morning, have you ever felt like every time you get up, you open the window like the devil's looking back at you? First line. Can you imagine this being your response every morning? Like anybody woke up and when you pull your phone out, you're like, oh crap, I got to start today.
Why would I worry?
Can you imagine if you began to talk back to yourself and your problems and your situations? Yeah, but I don't know how it's going to work out. Man, when Elijah went into the wilderness and had to get the first Grubhub through a bird, he didn't know how it was going to work out either. He didn't know. But when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. But don't stand like somebody stole something from you. Does this make sense? Your faith has to go through seasons of testing. But how do you take the test? Do you take it? Veronica's a teacher. You know when you look at a student and you put that test in front of them, there's an instantaneous expression on their face that lets you know if they're ready for that test. Now, I'm going to give you another hint. The devil doesn't know. Theologically, the devil is not all-knowing. He's as dumb as everybody else in the room. Now, the only thing he has is thousands of years of experience watching humanity. But he doesn't know. So what if, while you were searching for your faith, you got up and you said, why would I even worry about that? Oh, that giant came calling my name. Remember what David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who said that that could, I guess I'll just need God to do something about that. And either God will do it on his own or God will do it through me. But I'm not going to worry about it. I don't have to put on Saul's armor. I don't have to look like the last generation. Does that make sense? Still the same God. It may be a new tomb, but it's the same God. But I'm going to do this battle God's way through my life. When I watch my Goliath fall, everybody will be watching. Does this make sense? Well, if we could just get through COVID, you know what? I want to kill COVID and his five brothers. You know what I'm talking about? Like there's some stuff in this world that needs to die, and it's going to come through fasting and through prayer and through our worship and through our attitude approaching it. Look, I've been running from this fight long enough. It's time that I took the fight to the problem. But I don't fight with carnal weapons. I don't have to go on Facebook and have some stupid, mindless debate. That's not how I win. Can I get an amen from somebody? But my weapons are made for the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, but but evil's got such a foothold in America. Yeah, but my weapons are made for the pulling down of strongholds. Look, I can do in prayer what you can't do in politics. Don't mess with me. Are you tracking with this? I can do in fasting what you can't, which you cannot do through protesting. Oh, that'll preach. You need to stop. Y'all gonna get it here in just a minute. I'm just telling you.
Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? Oh, my God is so much bigger. The troubles I
So in the morning when you wake up and the devil knocks, send him back to hell where he came from. Yeah, I'm for real. Just get up and go, why would I? And you may have to sing this out loud and off key. No, for real. Man, God bless all y'all that got good voices. We ain't all got that. But it doesn't take away from the power of our testimony. Revelation says this, and they, we, us, Christians, overcame the evil one, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, which is what Jesus did, and by the word of our testimony. Word and worship should always be married. That's the reason why we sow the ground in word, or till the ground in worship, and we sow the ground in word. Man, I don't even know how to deal with this problem. Sing at it. Well, when they tore down Jericho's wall, what did they do? They sent out first the priests and the musicians. The people, I mean, honestly, y'all were just there for the shout. Because there's power in numbers. Can you imagine our worship team leading us around the city and us trying not to sing with it? Can you imagine going back to camp and then being in there and y'all just doing your thing and we get all jazzed up and we're ready like the Holy Spirit's moving? Then we go, okay, everybody go out and keep your mouth shut. There's a reason the Lord planted me in 2021 and 2022 and maybe 2023. We'll see. Because he knew this. If he'd have planted me back then, I couldn't keep quiet. I'd have been the one like Israelite God would have had to smite because I couldn't shut up. I'd be trying to get the people saved up on the walls. There's a reason Billy Graham wasn't alive then. Billy Graham would have had an altar call. You were created for this season. But you were created more than overcomers. You received this morning. Father, as we prepare to go into your word, God, I just thank you so much for the season that you've put us in. God, I don't think I've prayed this whole time. But God, I thank you for putting me in this season because, God, you've made me more than an overcomer. God, you've given me all the faith that it takes to endure in this season. God, you've given me all the hope that it takes to bring hope to the hopeless in this season. Father, I believe that right now you're about to do the exceeding abundant thing in somebody's life. God, I believe that there's somebody's here and they came in wringing their hands and they came in trying to figure out why they were getting punished or why they were getting downgraded or why they were getting smited or whatever they were trying to figure out. But Father, what they thought was a failure was a setup. God, what they thought was somehow you letting them down, God, is actually you getting ready to do the impossible just to prove to them who you are in their life. So Father, right now in this moment, I just ask that you show off. God, that you open our hearts and lives, that you reveal to us, God, who and what you are. God, not a veiled version. God, not a watered-down version of who you are. God, we want you in some full strength. God, we want you in some concentrate in our life. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to preach that. I need to preach God in concentrated form. I ain't going to do it this morning because I'm not prepared for it. You ever wonder why you buy some chemical and concentrate? Because it goes further, right? Because you dilute it down yourself. What if you got God like in concentrate, like not the watered down version, not the religion, like God Almighty Himself flowing through your life without your restrictions? What would that do to you? What would that do to your situation? You ever use concentrated stuff and forgot to dilute it? I did it on a sidewalk one time. I was going to power wash. I was supposed to spray it with a diluted down version. I sprayed it full strength. It was lily white. Like it didn't matter. Like I had to go through and spray everything else the same thing just so it would match. And then I had to sit and water down the runoff because otherwise it would discolor the bricks that were attached to the concrete. Because here's the thing. If you take God full strength, not only will He change the color of your life, He will change the color of everything you come in contact with. Does this make sense to you? Man, I'm just here to tell you, I think here's what we've done. We have cowered in fear for the last 18 months. And now I'm starting to talk. I shared this in our leaders meeting. I've begun to talk to people who have never battled depression and suicidal thoughts before, but now are entertaining them. And I'm done with it. Like, I'm tired of watching warriors act like wimps. And I'm tired of watching people who are the righteousness of God in flesh. Does that make sense? You are made right the minute you accept Christ. You are adopted into His family. Scripture says that you are made co-heirs with Jesus. But we are acting like we are broken, hopeless. I don't just mean financially. I mean like our lives are broken, hopeless. We're just trying to make it. What are you doing? I'm trying to make it. Well, you sound stupid. That was harsh, wasn't it? I probably should have toned that down a little bit. But I'm tired of hearing people that should be full of wisdom and hope and power playing dumb. Okay, I'm going to talk to my... Have you ever gone out with a girl who was smart and she tried to act dumb because she thought you weren't smart enough to rise to her intelligent level and all she did was make you mad? No, talk back to me. Men should know what I'm talking... If not, you should have dated some people before you got married. Don't act like what you're not. Does this make sense? If you are a child of blessed God, act like it. Yeah, but I just feel beat down. Well, pull your shoulders down and punch back. Punch back. I never will forget in high school. I got in a fight in art class. My dad will testify to this. And I got this joker down on the table, and I pounded on him. I beat the fool out of him. It was nice because I carried a bunch of them home. And I beat the mess out of him. And my vice principal came in and grabbed me by both arms and pulled me back. And that man came up off that table and grinned through me through bloody teeth. And I thought, I beat the fool out of you. And when he came up off that table, he reared back. And the principal had both my arms, and I thought, oh, Lord, this is going to hurt. And he managed to punch me right on the end of the nose. I did not know it was possible to hear your bones pop, but it is. And he hit me, and I thought, man, that did not hurt, but I bet it's going to in about 20 minutes. So they grab him, and we start walking down the hall, and about that time I pass my cousin, and he goes, you're bleeding. And I went, and it's rolling. Men know what I'm talking about. If you've had that pop, well, I hadn't realized it yet. But when I saw my own blood, I got mad. And I thought, I got one shot at this. And I stepped out and away from my principal, and I threw a haymaker right there. I broke his nose. I pushed his lip into his teeth. I loosened one up. I didn't even feel bad about it. I'm like, now we're even. Like, as a Christian man right now, I should still feel bad about that moment. But I don't. Pre-modern culture calls a fight. My first day of junior high, I saw two girls get in a fight, and I thought dudes fought good. They fought down the steps. There were clumps of hair that looked like we had killed a cat with the mange. One of the girls, now in junior high, this was a highlight, pulled the other girl's shirt off. I didn't know whether to be scared or excited. I was in junior high. You're going to have to give me a little break. There were teeth and hair, and one of the girls had, anybody remember 1990, 85 Lee press-on nails? Yeah, that's before that. One of them, when the girl stood up, walked by me, was still in the other girl's arm. I was like, hallelujah, that's a fight. But now let me ask you a question. If all the devil is doing is beating on your head, you are not in a fight. You, my friend, are a punching bag. If you are going to be in a fight, fight back. How do we fight? Man, we fight with our worship. We fight with the Word of God. We fight with our testimony. We fight with our faith. And when we run out of faith, it's like sugar. Go ask the neighbor. Borrow some. Steal some if you have to. If you've never stolen faith, you've never been in a fight. I have watched preachers and walked on stage and preached their message because it was better than what the Lord had given me. It's okay. Every pastor I've ever talked to has stolen a message. I've given some away. Because what happens is after you steal that faith, you earn the faith. Then you can let somebody else steal from you. It's not like an unbiblical stealing. Don't get me wrong. God intended it to be that way. Because sometimes God has to let you borrow somebody else's faith. And let's be honest, it's not borrowing because you didn't ask them for it. You just took it. But once you've been through that fight and you fought back, now we're evened up. Like, can I be honest with you? Every time I watch the news, but then come in here and watch somebody give their life to Jesus, I'm like, take that. Yeah. All them people you're messing with, I just took one out of your kingdom. How you like me now? Right? For every person that comes in and they're broken and I encourage their faith, and then they walk out of here with their shoulders a little higher and their tears are drier, and right, then I go, all right, now I cut you back. Because here's the thing, the devil really doesn't care about you. He only cares about hurting God. That's it. Like, you are a pawn in all this. But Jesus said this. He said, no, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to even the score. And not only will I fight back on your behalf, I'm going to let you fight back. That's why Jesus said this, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. But whatever is loosed on earth is also loosed in heaven. So be careful with your power. It's about to come down. I'm just telling you. So, man, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're battling. I can just tell you where I've been living this week. I don't know what you've battled this week. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you it's time to fight back. It is time to fight back. It is time for you to get in the Word like you've never been in the Word before. It is time for you to pray like you've never prayed before. It may even be time for you to fast and push a plate aside and go get you some Jesus.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like you know, I'm a little bit more. I'm going to say, people go, well, I can't fast very long. Well, fast one meal a day.
Yeah.
Go find you a closet. Instead of taking 15 minutes to go through Biscuitville drive-thru, which turns into 35. Imagine what happens if you spent that time tearing down strongholds. And don't pray like God ain't listening to you. He isn't, like you've got to convince him to move on your behalf. God said, I sit at the right hand of the Father, constantly making intercession for your need. You're trying to talk God into doing what God's trying to talk his Father into doing, what Jesus is trying to talk his Father into doing. And Jesus said, if you know me, then you know my Father. So if Jesus wanted to do it for you, it means God wants to do it for you. And if you're asking God and God knows your need, and he said, I'll meet your need before you even ask for it, you're trying to convince a bunch of people to do what they already want to do. That's like trying to convince a fat boy to eat. It don't take a lot of convincing. Can we just be honest? Like, you know, it's like going, do you want cake? You ain't got to say cake. You just care, and I'm with you. The answer is yes. It's like offering seafood to my son. You just go, would you like, hey, I got this seafood. Would you? Yes. Yes, I would. If my son ever gets kidnapped, it's because somebody either offered him ammo or food. It's true. I told my wife, if I ever disappear, look for a paneled van with guns. I like to shoot. I'm like, man, you want to get in our van? I'm 40-some years old. I'll get in your van. I'll take the chance. You're in a fight for your soul. Now can I give you the Cliff Note version? Because I never read a book in high school. I always just bought the Cliff Notes. If I couldn't find somebody to cheat from, I bought the Cliff. I wasn't always saved. You win. It works out. Like, you remember that story in the Bible where the guy really needed God to do something, but God didn't do it? Because it doesn't exist. Remember that story about the girl when she really was, she stayed right with God and she stayed faithful. She went through the hard time, and that's where she, well, no, because it doesn't exist. God always comes through for his people. Do you remember Stephen? Do you remember Stephen got stoned and died? And it said, and while they were stoning Stephen, he screamed and went out like everybody. No, it said, and Stephen, the windows of heaven opened up, and Stephen echoed what Jesus said. Stephen was so full of the Spirit that while rocks hit him, he looked at him and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Stephen said, while y'all are throwing stones, I'm already there. You can't hurt me. Paul said this, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Look, I'm winning no matter what you do to me. So what do I have to, you can't, I am untouchable. What if you went into the rest of this week and you said, you know what, I am untouchable. Because I am, doesn't mean I can't get rocked a little bit? Yeah, man, I get blindsided, but let me tell you something. You may hit me once, but I will cut you. I'm sorry, the scripture says that the word is a two-edged sword. I will cut you first and ask questions later. Yeah, but it looks like we're going to run out of money. Well, Scripture said this. Scripture said, test me and see that if you stay faithful to me, if I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a gift so big you can't even stand it. The only time God ever looks at you and goes, try me. You know why? Because it's the biggest thing we're going to wrestle with God on trusting him with. Because it's in our hand right now. It's not something we're asking him to send, then we'll be faithful. Somebody don't make me feel like I'm the only one who ever got ready to pay your tithe and went, I'm not even Catholic. I just thought it would help. Right? What if you pulled your shoulders back and you said, you know what? I am somebody in Christ. Christ is actively working on my behalf. This is not the end of the story. This is just the part where everybody starts paying attention. Because you never pay attention to half those stories in the Bible till it gets good. Okay, I'm going to stop. Y'all need to go bust your week this week.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.